Chase, Willie, D-Mace, 102.5, 106.3, The Game and The Game Nashville app. We are streaming live on Twitter, Twitch, YouTube, and Facebook Live. Our video streaming is brought to you by the law offices of Amanda J. Gentry, Caroline Fenton, and for Chase McCabe today. And joining us now is Jonathan Hutton. Hutton, sponsored by Blend Bar with Davidoff Cigars and Edley's Barbecue. Edley's Barbecue, hand off the tailgate prep or cater your next event by calling your neighborhood Edley's today, online at edleysbbq.com. Now, Hutton, we're looking ahead to the Chargers, but also I think everyone's minds are still on the Jacksonville Jags game. Just an embarrassing loss to the Jags, considering all of the drama and all of the talk all week long surrounding the Titans team is where did the Titans go from here? Why did John Robinson get fired? What is the outlook for the rest of the season? So considering what we saw last week against the Jags and looking ahead to a long road trip for the Titans, how do you feel about the rest of the Titans season?
Yeah, I mean, if I'm being honest, it's a lost season based on expectations set forth by ownership. And I hate saying that, but they did put – I feel like this is the toughest stretch for Mike Vrabel in his tenure as head coach, given the circumstances. You know, he has to not only – they've gone from a team that was fighting to become playoff eligible. They got there. Fighting to win the division. They're right on the cusp of doing that and fighting to get back to where they were last year, which was going into the postseason as healthy as possible and feeling like you had a chance if you had all of your thoroughbreds at the starting gate as the playoffs started, hosting a playoff game as the winner of the AFC South. So the goal and mission of the weekly take it one game at a time mantra was going into the postseason. And now they've added last week distraction and speculation. The Titans ownership allowed that by not speaking for 3 days. And we still have tons of questions. But point being, it's gone from that to, I guess the reality check is they view this, they being Amy Adams Strunk and the front office, they view this as more closer to a 5-win team if Washington scores at the end and doesn't throw a pick, if Indianapolis scores at the end of the game, then they do a 7-win team that's on the cusp of hosting a playoff game and potentially winning a playoff game. Again, you can't. There's no revisionist history there, but I mean, this roster currently and the way they're playing, they're closer to a team with a top 10 pick than they are actually winning a playoff game. That's the reality. And I hate saying it's a lost season, but that's the vibe. Given the circumstances of where they are, the injuries, and now the situation where they don't have a true identity in any area, any phase of the game. And normally they could lean on defense, special teams, not making stupid mistakes and grinding things out in the trenches and winning in a fistfight. They're not doing that right now.
And it's hard for me to say the season's over because I still do feel like the Titans are going to win the division. They're going to make the playoffs. Yeah. But looking where this team is at right now, the health of this team, how they're playing, it feels like it's going to be the Titans make the playoffs. They'll host a playoff game. They lose in the wild card round. They get bounced in the first round or at least in their first playoff game. Kind of the same thing that we've seen the past couple of seasons. The Titans are right back where they were. And then now, like you mentioned, kind of seems like without an identity and without a true vision moving forward. So it's hard for me to not feel incredibly pessimistic. Like, what's next?
Well, the reason for that, and I agree with you, is it's more about, to me, how the defense has transitioned into what's holding back the offense. And that is, you know, having they were a group over a 9-game stretch this season, right after the Buffalo game leading up to the current 9 games after Buffalo. They were the number one scoring defense in the NFL. They had role player after role player stepping up and making plays. And it was like, yeah, why can't the offense find these guys? Well, on top of that, they had their key playmakers, their high paid players, Jeffrey Simmons, Denico Autry, Byard's flying around. Fulton was playing like a vet. He was playing healthy, or appeared healthy. I think that all that factors in. Now they're a defense that, Caroline, the pessimism for me, they only allowed more than 21 points all season twice prior to last week, and that was to Buffalo and Philly. And then they gave up 36 to Jacksonville And this is a team that's allowed 881 total yards over the last two games, 35 and 36 points in those two games. They've allowed the second and third highest yardage totals of the season, the first being Buffalo. And they still have seemed good against the run. They stopped the run against Philly. They stopped Travis Etienne last week. But the pass defense, I mean, look, Philly and Jacksonville had 127 total yards combined. And the pass defense, 754 total yards, 386 and 368 in back-to-back weeks. And that's where we are. The defense isn't picking up where the offense is letting this team down at times. And case in point would be Henry's fumble. They allow seven when at worst, I feel like for the majority of the season and the majority of the last couple of years, at worst, they allow a field goal, you know, bend but don't break. They're breaking. And that's why I think we view the Titans as doing exactly that too.
Now, Jonathan, let's stay on the defense for a minute. I was listening to Jared and Carolyn yesterday, and they were talking to Shoops. And he mentioned,
Bob Shoops.
And he mentioned something about the defense, and you can just see it in their face. Like, they may have given all that they can give at this point. And that made me think, has the coaching staff, the offensive coaching staff, along with Mike Vrabel, have they done the defense a disservice by not adding on to an offense or keeping guys to an offense and trying to get this offense to transition from a run team to more of what the NFL is now, more of a passing team and scoring points? Because we talked about how good this defense was last year. And we talk about how good this defense has been at the beginning of the season. But now, because the NFL is basically a war of attrition, this defense is hurt. They've been on the field too many times. And now they're looking at the offense like, damn, can y'all at least score, you know, 21 points? We can hold a team to 18, 14, but can y'all at least score 21 points? And I think all of that falls on the coaching staff.
Well, I think Amy is pointing to personnel more than the coaching staff for the time being. Mace, look, if we didn't know the expectations for the coaching staff moving forward, we do now, based on the fact they're firing their general manager who has never had a losing season. Let's start there. I do think injuries have played a massive factor defensively. They can overcome one or two of these guys. You know, they were still getting pressure with Landry out to begin the season and with Dupree having the issues with the hip to begin the season. Because they still had their main corner in Fulton who came back. They had Simmons and Autry paired with a healthy Simmons. That to me is the biggest issue with what they're missing currently. David Long Jr. is also a massive loss at linebacker. I think that's more of the issue than the offense, because if you look at the scores, I mean, the offense is not doing well at all. The difference would be the defense is getting more stops than not. They're finding the way. They're finding the finish. And I mean, even Simmons is at the post game on Sunday, and look, he's the top player on the roster. He's saying that he's still getting the same type of production, that it hasn't slipped, that the ankle isn't an issue, and that's all well and good, but that's just not true. I mean, he is not an impact player right now, and when he's not an impact player, you absolutely know the other role players are not going to be that. And they're still stopping the run, but they're not affecting the passer. You know, Lawrence was under no pressure, and that's how they built this defense. Pressure up front. The strength going into the year, Mace, was their defensive line. In fact, that was really how you would define this team. That was the backbone of the entire team. And the front right now on defense is really banged up and in some cases not producing, Bud Dupree. And on the flip side, I think John Robinson was fired because of the way the offensive line is currently looking and became. That's the biggest swing and miss. I don't think it's about the offense scoring points. It is. But I think it's about the offensive line losing the identity of the offense and of the team. They're built through the line and out. And I think it's more about the O-line and the trenches getting pushed around and the fact right now that the defensive line can't push the opposing offensive line around like they have been in the passing game.
It's so interesting to hear you talk about. I was just looking while you were discussing, Jonathan, what the Titans would like to be at the end of the season. They may have to win another game or two. I don't know if they have to win more than maybe one. I mean, we'll see what happens this weekend. The Jaguars play the Cowboys. That's no picnic. We know that. And right. The Colts play the Vikings in Minnesota. That's not – and if they both lose, even if the Titans lose, they're still in great shape to win the division. So I wonder how that is playing into some of the decisions they're making about trying to get healthy, because I think we all agree they have to get healthy to have any chance. It's going to be tough enough even if they are healthy. But if they can get guys back, especially on defense, then I think you go into a playoff game at home feeling like your defense could give you a chance to win, but not as it's constructed right now.
And I think the key here is the sooner the better. That's the issue. And that's why I look, they started great. It was a great plan. 96 rushing yards in the first quarter for Henry. They're leading 14-10. And then we saw the dam break with a minute left in the third quarter. So quickly the fans were hitting the exits, how quickly it fell apart. I do think last week played a factor in that. Now, the turnovers are larger than the distraction, because once they got going, it looked like they were in a rhythm, and then all of a sudden everything came apart. But Willie, I think the plan was, we're about to wrap this up, the division, and Autry hasn't been back. At that point, there's no reason you can't improve your. I mean, they're going to be the four seed if we're being honest with whatever happens in the North with Baltimore or Cincy. At that point, you can rest Simmons. You can rest some of your defensive backs that are really banged up. You don't have to worry about David Long coming back to help you get into the playoffs the final week of the season. You can be more of what they were last year, except you're flipping it. It's now the defense getting healthy, because that's the group that's got to carry you instead of offensively trying to get Henry back, making sure that you have Ben Jones. I mean, that's all important, but that was what we were waiting on last year that they got back to, and we know how things ended. The defense was still excellent against Cincinnati. I think that was the plan and the goal, and now it's just about – I mean, we've literally gone from that just – oh, they're in the playoffs too. Is this team, are they about to go on this losing streak and just completely collapse? And it happened.
But they could almost do both. They could almost collapse. Could. And unless the Jags or the Colts, unless they get a heartbeat, which maybe the Jags have a slight heartbeat now, but they still have to almost be perfect. The Jags have to almost be perfect just to get to that last game with a chance to win. So there's scenario you could collapse and still get into the playoffs.
Yeah, there's a scenario.
But you don't want to count on the Jags not having some sort of something figured out.
No, you're right.
Well, I think it's too little too late for them, though. They've lost too many close games. They've been in like 8 points or less games in the first 2 months of the season. They were right there, and Lawrence didn't finish the deal, or the defense gave up a big play. But, Willie, to your point, I mean, there's a scenario where they can't they've got to have their best players in the lineup, like Simmons is playing through right now. There's a scenario where the four seed in the AFC is the worst team in the playoffs in the AFC. Legitimately. And they were 2 weeks ago, we weren't talking about that. We were talking about, well, if they clinch, they're the four seed, they're hosting, and then you just let the defense get healthy and let the defense carry you. And now I really can't point to anything that says, you know what, here's the identity that they're gonna get back to. They don't have that right now. I think they've really lost the edge, the mental and physical edge, quite frankly, that this team has been known for.
And there's something else that the Titans have lost, at least for this week. I want to get into that with Hutton coming up next. But first, Willie, tell us about Loan Pronto.
All right, let's talk Loan Pronto. You know that 2023 is coming, and it's coming soon. And wouldn't it be nice to start off the new year without any credit card debt? You can do it with Loan Pronto's Express Equity line of credit. I've been telling you for weeks now, get your financial game plan in order for 2023. You can do it with the Express Equity line of credit. Wipe out the credit card bills. Start the home improvement project you're looking for. Pay off that car loan. Whatever it is that you need cash for, rates are down, and it's a great move to get on more solid financial footing for the new year. You don't have to do the full home refi. You can tap a portion of the equity you have and enjoy a rate that's a whole lot less than what the banks charge on credit cards. With Loan Pronto's Express Equity credit line, you can close into 7 to 10 days, and you can access up to 95% of your home's equity. So Take that money and then address the financial needs you're looking for. Consolidate everything into one easy payment if you like. Even if you did a total refi last year, you can tap the equity with the Fast Easy program. Call Loan Pronto, 615-499-5780. That's 615-499-5780 or go to loanpronto.com. Equal housing lender, NMLS 166-1781, subject to lender approval.
Chase, Willie, D-Mace, 125-1063 of the game. Jonathan Hutton joins us now, sponsored by Blend Bar with Davidoff Cigars and Edley's Barbecue. Blend Bar with Davidoff Cigars is the go-to spot in Nashville for the best old-fashioned and nice relaxing cigar and lots of high-end spirits and wine. Jonathan Hutton brought to you by Blend Bar with Davidoff Cigars. Visit Blend Bar in the heart of downtown Nashville today. Blend Bar with Davidoff Cigars, luxury redefined. Hutton, there are a lot of concerns surrounding this football team, but I think one of them is the threat of the offense, or rather the lack of threat offensively for the Titans. And I'm looking at Derrick Henry. There's a four-game stretch here. Against Denver, 53 yards. Green Bay, 87. Cincinnati, 38. Philadelphia, 30. Had 121 against Jacksonville, 93 of which came in the first quarter. Derrick Henry's been shut down for the most part over the last four games and three quarters. What's the most alarming or concerning part of Derrick Henry's play over the last few weeks?
And 2 yards in the second half last week. And yep. That plays into, I think, the most concerning issue for me. Derrick Henry throughout his career has been known as a volume back. The mentality of this team is offensively, okay, if you want to get into a fist fight, if you want to get into a grapple, okay, they'll go toe to toe. Whatever, like we'll see who can get the submission or the finish, and a decision, possible knockout, whatever. And if you're a finesse team that just wants to throw the football, great, because they defensively they're going to line up and try to stack the box, and the Titans want to run it right down your throat. They want to play time of possession. They want to say, okay, throw it all over the field if you want to, but the quarterback's going to be on the opposite sideline on the bench because we're going to make you tap out in the third and fourth quarter. They're not doing that, and Henry's not doing that. The Titans' turnovers are playing a factor with time of possession and what have you, but you mentioned the yardage for Henry. He's known as a second half of the season back, first and foremost, November and December. He's also known as a second half back in games, and we're not seeing that. The Titans rank ninth in scoring in the first half. They average 13.2 points per game. In the second half, they're averaging 5 points per game. That's 31st in the NFL. Henry leads the NFL in rushing in first half yardage, 800 yards total in the first half. He has 398 yards in the second half. That is the exact opposite of the identity of this offense. They did the viewpoint of the organization when they traded AJ Brown was they did not trade away their identity, because their identity is through the run game and the offensive line. And that's why they are where they are, because they can't run the football. The offensive line is, I mean, it's really bad. They're getting pushed around, but also Henry's not, we saw great yardage in the first half, especially the first quarter. We did not see that in the second half. And this is a defense that routinely gets pushed around and run over by 22. And that, to me, that's the most alarming part, is that he had the swagger back against Jacksonville. Jacksonville is the get-right game for him if he's having a bad stretch. And Sunday, they couldn't do it, in part because of a fumble by him, and in part because the offensive line isn't allowing him to get to a third or fourth step when he has the football. To me, Caroline, that is the issue with the entire game plan for them, and they have no answers to it right now.
Now, Hutt, 3 weeks or 4 weeks ago, I would have looked at this Charger game and said, well, listen, the way that the Chargers are going, with their injuries piling up, to key players, and the way the Titans are playing, this should be a cakewalk in a sense. It's going to be a physical game and, you know, whatnot, but this is a game that the Titans should win, considering where the Chargers were at that particular time. Now the Chargers' fortunes have changed in a good way. They're getting their guys back. Keenan Allen and Mike Williams is back. Herbert looks like the quarterback he did at the end of last season. Now going into this game, it doesn't look as if this will even be a win for the Titans. And I was listening to Willie talk in regards to, you know, the Titans can lose every game and still win this division. I don't think it's that way. I think if they lose this week, when you talked about a crossroads, I think they blew past that crossroads. They're somewhere else now. Because if you drop four in a row in this AFC, yes, you may win your division, but it's not a lock that you're going to win it.
Yeah, they went from the crossroads to the crosshairs.
Yeah.
You know, like it's really interesting how quickly that happened. And you're right about the Chargers. The Chargers, they're healthier. Eckler is outstanding, but they had Keenan Allen back. He's been back for several weeks now, I believe. And they've got Mike Williams back as well for the first time. But second game, I think he's coming back. So, but look, the Chargers offense is on Herbert's shoulders. And he routinely makes some really great plays. He was fantastic. He's been fantastic the last couple of weeks. But he attempted 51 passes against Miami, 367 yards. He had that 10-yard second quarter touchdown to Mike Williams, and that gave them a 10-0 lead. I know it was a tight game for a big portion of it. But look, this is a quarterback that's fully capable of doing exactly what Trevor Lawrence just did. And I was listening to you guys driving, and I know Stillman's mentioned the last 2 weeks and the AFC offensive player of the week, or the NFL offensive player of the week has gone against the Titans defense. Herbert, he can sling it around the yard, and they are a desperate team at 7-6. The Titans are going the opposite direction. The Chargers have been back and forth, and right now they're the first team out in the 8 seed with New England as the 7 seed currently. But at 7-6, they had an opportunity with Miami and a big game for them, hosting back-to-back AFC matchups to get right back into the postseason. And that's what they can do on Sunday. Meanwhile, the Titans are just trying to find a way to win a low-scoring, tight game and get back to who they are. The problem is, I feel like they're outmatched a bit, even against the Chargers defense that will give up plenty of yards against the run. Because I don't think the Titans offensive line can run it on practically anyone right now for four quarters. Mm-hmm. Defenses are finding a way to take it away. And the Titans offense is not adjusting for second half football.
And that's another thing that concerns me is the Titans offensive line. I mean, it's concerned me all season long, but especially looking at the Chargers getting healthier. Chargers optimistic that Joey Bosa is going to come back. I mean, yep. I look at Nicholas Petit-Frere, you know, a rookie right tackle that leads the league in false starts. I look at Dennis Daly that was giving up sack after sack after sack against the Jags. And then you look at Aaron Brewer, who's about 65 pounds. And I just look at this Chargers pass rush, especially with Joey Bosa coming back, looking to feast against this offensive line.
It's an issue. So, yeah, I mean, it's not good. Let me run this by you, because look, Dylan Raidens is not good. Let me start there. Mm-hmm. Mace, Caroline, he's also not Dennis Daly bad to me. And I genuinely thought this scenario was going to play out on Sunday. I thought they were going to give Raidens the start, and we were going to see him at left tackle in similar fashion to the way we saw him against the San Francisco 49ers a year ago on Thursday Night Football, to where they didn't want him sleeping on the idea he could possibly start a game. So they told him the morning of the game that he was going to start on Thursday. I thought we would see that. I really did, because that's how bad Dennis Daly has been. And Daly played a massive factor in that game by being a turnstile at left tackle. And I'm sorry, I just don't – you have to be able to try different things. And it's not like Raidens was great on Thursday Night Football, but he wasn't awful. He wasn't Daly against the Jags. So I don't know why you don't try more of that moving forward. You got to try something, because, I mean, the biggest runs for Henry are going to the right side. They're not going to – it's not like you have a great run rushing offensive line on the left side right now. I don't understand the – just, well, you know what? We'll just run him out there again. Will Zvitek, back in the Ken Whisenhunt era, Will Zvitek is the worst Titans player to ever put on a Titans uniform, in my opinion. He's that bad. Ken Whisenhunt would put Jake Locker out there and not double team J.J. Watt. He would put Will Zvitek against J.J. Watt, and we know how that ended. I'm telling you, Dennis Daly is giving up these plays on the routine. and he's closing in on having Zvitek's, you know, status. He's not the worst player, but he's the worst player on this Titans roster currently, and they're not replacing him.
Hutton, we appreciate you for joining us. Tell us about Edley's Barbecue.
Edley's Barbecue, it's, look, Nashville-style barbecue first and foremost. And my friends, Will and Catherine Newman, they've got you covered all across Nashville. Plenty of locations up Sylvan Park, East Nashville, 12 South for the best barbecue in the area. And now they're in Donelson. They are also in Nolensville, just opened up there. And you can see all of their locations wherever you might be across Middle Tennessee and across the state of Tennessee. Meat smoked low and slow, made from scratch side dishes. You asked that they've listened. At least they're serving brisket all day. And they use the highest quality meats. They smoke their brisket and all of their meats in-house daily. And they are great for catering holiday parties. If you're looking for a last-minute option there, make sure you check out your local neighborhood Edley's. As a neighborhood feel, it's a tribute to all things Southern, authentic to all things Nashville and across Tennessee. Nashville-style barbecue is Edley's Barbecue. And check them out locally, but you can also check them out online at edleysbbq.com. And 2 yards in the second half last week. And yep, that plays into, I think, the most concerning issue for me. Derrick Henry throughout his career has been known as a volume back. The mentality of this team is offensively, okay, if you want to get into a fist fight, if you want to get into a grapple, okay, they'll go toe to toe, whatever. Like we'll see who can get the submission or the finish. And a decision, possible knockout, whatever. And if you're a finesse team that just wants to throw the football, great, because they defensively, they're going to line up and try to stack the box, and the Titans want to run it right down your throat. They want to play time of possession. They want to say, okay, throw it all over the field if you want to, but the quarterback's going to be on the opposite sideline on the bench because we're going to make you tap out in the third and fourth quarter. They're not doing that, and Henry's not doing that. The Titans' turnovers are playing a factor with time of possession and what have you, but you mentioned the yardage for Henry. He's known as the second half of the season back, first and foremost, November and December. He's also known as a second half back in games, and we're not seeing that. The Titans rank ninth in scoring in the first half. They average 13.2 points per game. In the second half, they're averaging 5 points per game. That's 31st in the NFL.
There you go. That was Jonathan Hutton on his concern for Derrick Henry moving forward. And look, the Titans have a difficult road trip up ahead, taking a road trip to Los Angeles, taking on the Chargers this Sunday. And Hutton mentions two things that are quite concerning. That Derrick Henry is both a second half back and a second half of the season back. In November, Derrick Henry has two 100-plus yard games, one of those being Jacksonville, in which 90% of those yards came in the first quarter, and another one being against Kansas City earlier this season when Malik Willis was in at quarterback, and the Titans really had no other choice but to run the football. With no Treylon Burks, assuming Treylon Burks still in concussion protocol, as Mike Vrabel mentioned earlier in his press conference, let's make the assumption that Treylon Burks most likely won't make the road trip to Los Angeles.
Mm-hmm.
Derrick Henry, second half woes, has been struggling to run the football, 30 yards against Philadelphia, 38 against Cincinnati, 53 against Denver. I worry about the threat of this Titans offense moving forward throughout the season. Treylon Burks still in concussion protocol, and Derrick Henry just not quite looking like Derrick Henry, especially in the second half of seasons that we've seen in the past.
Well, this team has not proven, at least in the second half over the last three games, that they can get any consistency or rhythm going. I go back to, you know, we can go back to the Cincinnati game, second half. 26 plays, 137 yards, two field goals. But in that process, they had four series. One was minus 6 yards and one was 19 yards. Six plays, 19 yards, three plays, minus six. Against Philadelphia, they had 25 plays, 39 yards. They had two minus series. One, three plays, minus seven. Another four plays minus 10, and then they had another four plays plus 10. This team is not doing what it needs to do to win ball games in the second half. And let's go back to the last game, the Jags. The first half, they had 32 plays, 240 yards, but they had three turnovers. Okay, but in the second half, they had 30 plays, 100 yards, and one fumble. So they had not even half of the yardage in the second half that they had in the first half. That's a problem, and it's been a consistent problem. This team has been consistent, but it's been consistent on the wrong end. They've been consistently a bad team or below average team in the second half. And that's why, you know, that's why I asked Hutton a question. Like, listen, we just can't assume, just because this division is not a good division, we can't assume that, oh, the Titans can just lose every game and they're going to win the division. No, we can't assume that. This team has to prove that they can put together a full game headed into the playoffs. They did it one time this season. That was against the Green Bay Packers. They hadn't been able to do it. I don't know if they can do it, add the injuries into everything. I don't know if they can put together good enough play for a full game to end the season on a high note. And if they don't end the season on a high note, say, Caroline, if they lose, if they the only team they beat is the Houston Texans, I think, judging by what Miss Amy has done already, I think then she's evaluating other people on this coaching staff as well.
Well, I mean, that's one thing that they highlighted in the Mike Sando article is if the John Robinson firing was a move motivated only by Amy Adams Strong, that she was unhappy with John Robinson's job performance, which we've cited all of the things that we could say, okay, that's fair. Mm-hmm. But overall, winning is the only thing that matters. Winning is the only currency in the NFL, and that's what John Robinson has been doing a lot of. So if it really was just Amy Adams Strong unhappy with John Robinson's job performance, who's to say Mike Vrabel's job isn't safe? Who's to say that these players aren't going to get, you know, motivation from Amy Adams Strong to say, hey, you know, Derrick Henry hasn't been doing a whole lot of anything mm-hmm. recently. Ryan Tannehill hasn't been doing a whole lot of anything recently. And I'm just, you know, putting words in her mouth. Uh-huh. Who's to say that anybody is safe?
Now, when an owner chooses to make a decision like she did, and that's why I said earlier in the show, I hope it was, and from what we've heard and whatnot, it was a thought-out decision. I hope, indeed, it was a thought-out decision, because if it wasn't, then everybody in that building needs to be worried. They need to be worried after they lost to Jacksonville. If they go to L.A. and they lose to the Chargers, they need to be really worried as they're taking that plane flight back home, because now that would have been four games you've dropped. And oh, by the way, don't let somehow, some way, Jacksonville ends up beating the Dallas Cowboys or Indianapolis wins. That puts more pressure on a team that's already depleted on the defense and offensive side of the ball. We just heard they don't know when Treylon Burks is coming back. So you've taken your best pass catcher away from an offense that's been inept. You know, for the most part, they've run the football really well, but they hadn't been able to throw the ball. So you add all of that in there. I mean, I'm not going to sit here and say it's not far-fetched for me to believe that the Titans, if indeed they don't win at least two games of their remaining, what, four or five? I think it's four: Jacksonville, Houston, Chargers, and
Dallas.
So they have four. If they don't go at least 2-2, it's not crazy for me to think that they won't win this division.
There's one thing that the Titans are always very proud of. There's one thing that the Titans talk a lot about. There's one thing that the Titans say they think is the most important thing within that locker room that I don't know is necessarily something that I think that they have anymore. That's what I want to get into coming up next. Plus your phones, 615-737-1025. Chase, Willie, and D-Maze, play Silly Underdog Picks today. Pick three football underdog teams that you think will win this week for a chance to win great prizes. Play now at thegamenashville.com or the 1025 The Game app. Silly Underdog Picks is presented by Volunteer Hose and Gasket. Superbook Sports, voted number one sportsbook in Vegas. Download their app today.
And while you're still listening, man, because I know you are, I want to tell you about Cool Springs MD. Over the years, more men have started to seek help for hormone deficiencies and imbalances. Dr. Jeffrey Lodge and his wife Daphne, along with that experienced staff, give men the treatment required to improve their quality of life. Cool Springs MD services have already helped many men of Brentwood, Nashville, that's including me, and the surrounding areas in Tennessee with improving their immune systems, energy levels, cognitive functions, and more. I told you guys that, listen, my energy levels were low, and I felt it. I was dragging. So you know what I did? I went to go see my Cool Spring, my good friends over at Cool Springs. You know what they did? They connected me, and they will connect you with the medical care you require to have a healthy and enriched life. And now I'm more healthier than ever. There's no better time to achieve a healthy lifestyle. So what are you waiting on? Give Dr. Jeffrey Lodge and Cool Springs MD a call today for an appointment at 615-486-3458, 615-486-3458, or visit their website, coolspringsmd.com.
Tune in for the NFL pregame show this Sunday live from Twin Peaks in Cool Springs, located at 1634 Galleria Boulevard. Join Jared Stillman and former Titans wide receivers Chris Sanders and D. Mace from 1 to 3 p.m. prior to the Titans taking on the Los Angeles Chargers. The NFL pregame show is brought to you by TriStar Moving, Parman Tractor and Equipment, Screwball Peanut Butter Whiskey, Superbook Sports, and Ounce of Hope Cannabis Company. Now, D. Mace, there is one thing that the Titans consistently mention, that if they don't have anything, they have this, and it's their identity. We hear Mike Vrabel talking about it all the time. We hear players talk about it all the time. We got to stay true to our identity. We got to stick to our identity. Something that John Robinson brought in when he came to the Tennessee Titans. And I think it plays a factor on the field and off the field. Mm-hmm. On the field, the Titans' identity is run the football, play hard-nosed defense, get to the quarterback. But they haven't been doing that. Mm-hmm. Derrick Henry has struggled to run the football. And whether that's a Todd Downing issue, which I think that's absolutely in play, that Todd Downing doesn't give Derrick Henry the football enough, or if that's defenses saying, hey, you don't have a pure pass attack. All we have to do is sell out to stop the run, or all we got to do is stack the butts and stop Derrick Henry and we stop the run. So they've struggled running the football. Jonathan Hutton outlined with us earlier this hour, how difficult it has been for Derrick Henry to run the football. You know, Jeffrey Simmons isn't 100%. Harold Landry out. Danico Autry out. The defense hasn't really put the fear into opposing offenses over the past few weeks, and that's an injury issue, but an injury nonetheless. So the Titans haven't been able to play to their identity on the field. And then off the field, no front runners, no distractions. Well, the Titans just had the biggest distraction that you could probably have this past week. So the Titans have lost their identity. On the field, they can't execute their identity. And off the field, they haven't been practicing what they preach. It seems like this team has lost their identity. And for a team that's going to win the division, that's going to make the playoffs, that still has four games left on this season, the Titans are headed for a very depressing future for the rest of the season. And if they don't have an off-the-field identity, then what do they have next season?
You're right. They've held on, and by no means am I saying they need to change their, you know, identity as a whole. But you, in having your identity, you have to have some type of counter to that identity, in a sense. Because I equate it to boxing. I love boxing. Goodness, I love boxing just as much as I love basketball. But in boxing, you have these two fighters. Let's just go to Tyson Fury and Deontay Wilder. Love Tyson Fury. He's an excellent heavyweight boxer. He's a pure boxer at the heavyweight level, and he has power. Deontay Wilder, he has the power. He has that identity. His identity is a one punch, like a one puncher. I'm just going to knock you out with one punch. You know, it's if I catch you with this right, you down. You're not surviving it. And he's proven, up until a point, he had proven that. Even with fighting Tyson Fury the first time, he proved that I'm a one puncher. Boom, knock you out. But then, when you can't do that, when your identity can't win you games or fights anymore. What do you do? Well, in Dante Wilder's case, again, I like Dante Wilder as a boxer, but he has no counter to his power. He has no counter to his identity. When someone takes it away or when someone withstands that punch, he has no counter to that. When somebody else comes on the block and their identity is just as big as yours, that one punch that they have is just as big as yours, but they also have a counter to their one punch. And Dante Wilder has proven against, at least against Fury, that no matter that he hasn't been able to change his game plan. And Fury understands that, he knows it, and he keeps beating him fight after fight, and it gets worse every time they fight. That's the Titans right now. They have this identity of running a football and playing really good, solid, aggressive defense. Well, the last 3 weeks, the team that they've played, Philly, Cincinnati, Jacksonville, they've taken the Titans' identity and used it against them. They've came in with that same identity, but with a little bit more. You know, they came in and said, you know what? Y'all like stopping. We're going to stop the run too. We got this tough identity too. But we got to counter to that tough identity. We can throw the football. We can do other things. We're not just going to smash mouth you to death. You know, or we feel that, yeah, we're going to play great defense or good defense, but we also can do other things on offense. Well, the Titans right now are at a point where they've held on so long to this identity, which is great, and they will continue to hold on to it, which is wonderful. But they don't have a counter to that identity when somebody else walks into the room with a bigger identity. When someone else walks in the room and they can bully you just as much as you've been bullying everybody else. When you don't have no counter to that, you end up on a 3-game losing streak.
And I think we've seen that. Let's say the Cincinnati game, for example. Titans identity will out-tough you.
Yeah.
You might have better players than us. You may have an elite quarterback, but we'll out-tough you.
But well, Cincinnati did the same thing to them.
Joe Burrow out-toughed you.
Exactly.
And you lost that game. And then I look at the Jags game. You know, a team that is tough and doesn't give up. Well, it seemed like they lost the turnover margin, and once Derrick Henry turned the ball over, they weren't able to get a stop. Jacksonville's able to capitalize off of the opportunities that Tennessee just handed them. They couldn't come back from it. It looked like a team that was just defeated. I felt the same way against the Eagles.
Mm-hmm.
That once A.J. Brown scored that second touchdown, I thought, I mean, this team's given up. It felt like Mike Vrabel just gave up. So this identity that they have of we're going to be tough, we're going to out-tough you,
mm-hmm.
I don't feel that anymore. And the man that brought in this identity, mm-hmm. that brought in this culture, he's not here anymore. So, you know, your running back that you've built your offense off of,
mm-hmm.
it has been stopped over the past 5 weeks. Not in the first quarter against the Jacksonville Jaguars. We'll take that one out. But let's say the last 4 games and 3 quarters, Derrick Henry hasn't been able to get much moving. The defense that they've been able to win so many games from in the past 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
Well, now their key playmakers either are out or aren't 100%. So that identity's gone. The person who brought in your identity is gone. And it seemed like the identity that you claim that you bring game in and game out, you don't play to anymore.
Well, they can still play that game. But again, I refer back to boxing. If you are just a power puncher and someone takes away your ability to be a power puncher, you better have a jab. You better have a jab that can weaken your opponent throughout the course of the fight. If you don't have a jab, then you're done. After a while, Mike Tyson didn't have a jab. He couldn't just bully everybody he faced as he got older. And what happened to Mike Tyson? As great as Mike is, he couldn't develop a really good jab that could sustain him. And what happened to him? He started losing fights. The Titans are the same way. Until they're able to develop a jab, there's always somebody bigger than you. Always. You think you're the big man on the block or the big girl on the block or the big bully? There's a bigger bully. You just hadn't met him yet or her yet. But when you meet him or her, you better have something to counter that. Because if you don't, they're going to do to you what you've been doing to other people. And I see that from the Titans. What the Titans have been able to do to people for a season and a half, now it's being done to them. Why? Because they have no counter to that.
What does that mean exactly? A counter.
They don't have no passing game. They have none.
So when their plan is we're going to go in and out tough you, and Joe Burrow comes in and says, no, I'm going to out tough you, the Titans have nothing to defer to.
No, but because not only can they Cincinnati and Buffalo and let's say, I don't know, name another team, San Fran or somebody like that.
Philadelphia.
Yeah. Not only can we play bully ball if we want to, we can also be finesse if we need to.
We can throw that jab
if we need to, because we got everything that we need to do that. See, you don't have everything that you need. And if you're not bullying people, and if you're not just smash-mouthing people and Derrick Henry's not going, you have no jab. No jab whatsoever.
And I think that you named the 49ers, the Eagles, the Bills. Those are all good, great, and elite teams in the league. And we have learned, we have enough of a sample size of the Titans this year that, look, they're good enough to beat the bad teams, but they're just not quite good enough to beat the Eagles, the Bills, teams like that on their schedule.
That's because they have no jab.
And that's what we've learned about this team. But the concerning thing is they can't beat the bad teams anymore. They couldn't beat the Jacksonville Jaguars. The Jacksonville Jaguars have won now four games going into the game against the Titans. That's not a good team. I mean, they might be good in a few years. They're not good right now. That's a team that the Titans absolutely should have beaten. But now they can't even do that. So when you can't do what you've been doing, when you don't have your on-the-field identity, and it looks like you're losing your off-the-field identity, where do you go?
I don't know where you go. You try to retool, and it's too late in the season. They can't bring anyone else in, so you just try to hold on.
615-737-1025 is our phone number. We'll get into your calls, your texts on that. Plus, the NFL people have two schools of thought when it comes to the Titans about what happened and what's going to happen next. We'll get into that coming up next. Chase Willie, D-Mace, 1063 The Game.